What's up, Radio Laureate? I am joined by a student union presidential candidate, Sebastian Corey. Sebastian, how are you doing today?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you very much for being on the show today. I've done so many of these today. I also, you probably know this by now, but I'm Jackson Wells, your station manager, and we're going to have a lovely conversation with Sebastian about some of his goals and plans for campus in the upcoming year, if elected president. And yeah, we're just going to have a good time. And we'll start off, like we always do, with some pretty standard icebreakers. So, Sebastian, can you please tell us what was your favorite first-year memory?
Oh, that's a good one. Honestly, I came into Laureate during COVID, so there wasn't a lot of great memories during first year. But I think just kind of having the opportunity to meet all these cool people and, There was a couple key things with first year, just meeting friends, kind of going out, doing a little drinking that we shouldn't have. And yeah, that just kind of made it worth it. And the last couple of years have made it worth it too.
That's great. Awesome. Yeah, that's, you know what else are you going to do in first year? Next question for you is, what has been your favorite and least favorite class at Laureate and why?
Least favorite was, I want to say, Youth in Crime. I just didn't like the content was fine. I just didn't like the way it was taught. My favorite course so far, I think, was, that's a good one, probably one I'm taking right now, Sea Power Since 1914, which is looking pretty nice.
Awesome. Great. All right. So now that we've kind of broken the ice a little bit, we're getting to know each other. Let's start with you telling us a little bit about yourself, kind of who you are, what your deal is, and I'll let you decide what you want to talk about. You just go ahead.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, my name is Sebastian Corey. I'm a fourth-year criminology student on the Brantford campus. Don't hold it against me. But yeah, I'm running for SU president for 2024-2025. I've got a couple ideas cooking up in my head, a bunch of which you'll see. And just, yeah, I try to make the Laureate experience worth it for myself, and kind of that's what I'm trying to pass along as SU president, is just, hey, you're at Laureate, welcome, and let's have a good time.
Great. All right. And now diving into that, I think maybe the most obvious question I'll ask you today is, why did you decide to run for president?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a kind of long-running decision. I thought about it last year during third year and was like, oh, should I do it? Should I not? And that kind of continued up until about September of this year. Then I finally kicked myself and said, hey, what else are you going to do? And just kind of having that opportunity to do that. But yeah, I think kind of the main thing going into it was I have all these ideas for students, and they're not kind of relegated to one department. So initially I was looking at VPGSR. And so kind of having those different thoughts about different departments and kind of the Laureate community as a whole. And then just having I talked with Spenny, the current president. I talked to Shane, who was last year's president. I talked to Tyler Van Herzel, who was 2019's president, 2018, 2016, something. But yeah, just kind of having those chats and saying like, hey, these are really awesome ideas. And they apply to the broad Laureate community, and just kind of building off what I've done at the board and throughout my time with the SU.
Great. And I guess in your words and kind of from your perspective, what does the president do? What's their role? And why is it important to the student community?
Yeah. Well, you've caught me on a good day for that. I've been giving that pitch all morning. But essentially, the SU president is the figurehead of the organization. They run the day-to-day operations and run the student executive. So essentially kind of everything that you would recognize the SU as being for in terms of day-to-day operations eventually at some point comes to the SU president. So kind of at points there's operational day-to-day kind of on the ground, and then it's also some high-level strategic decision-making. So that's done in conjunction with the board and just making sure that the students' union runs how it should be and how it's, you know, how it's supposed to be is provided for by the board and by kind of what students need.
Great. Yeah. So I guess kind of getting maybe into some more, I guess, kind of specific questions around what you would potentially do as president. One of the most important roles that the president does is they hire a team of VPs and AVPs, various roles that in a lot of ways kind of determines what the year is going to look like for students. Is that something you've thought about? And what kind of skills and what kind of hiring practices do you plan on implementing in order to make sure that the people you're hiring are of, I guess, the highest quality, as well as giving equal opportunity to all students at Laurier?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I really want to give to Spenny is this year, like, her VP team has been amazing. I've really only heard positive things. And that's something I want to continue next year is just kind of, and the main thing, like, even talking with the VPs has been don't hire someone you don't trust to run the ship. Because ultimately, the SU president should not be doing everything all at once. They are there to guide, they are there to supervise, and they are there to make sure that the organization is running properly, but they are not there to run the day-to-day operations for the departments. So making sure that you hire someone that you trust to run that operation side for the department, and making sure kind of that they have the experience and skills necessary to do so. So, you know, obviously it doesn't make a lot of sense to hire someone for, say, programming and services who has never touched programming services at Laurier. So kind of making sure that they have that experience while also making sure that, you know, you can see the passion and that they align with what I would want to do as president. Because ultimately, if me and a VP are going to be butting heads all the time, then that's not going to be very productive. So I think kind of a team where it's not all just yes people, but, you know, who will challenge me at times and who will kind of have that good dialogue. And then also having them in a position where I trust them to run the department and the full-time staff at the SU trust them to run the department. And I think that's the most effective way to do it. And ultimately, there are processes and procedures in place for if they are pushing what they're able to do. So, and I don't think that would be a problem with really anyone I hire or really anyone any of the other presidential candidates hire.
Great. Yeah. And switching gears a little bit, we talked briefly about kind of the importance of the role of president. And I think one of the kind of key indicators of maybe students' understanding of that is voter turnout. Voter turnout has basically consistently been under 25% since as far back as 2019. Why do you think voter turnout has been so low in the past 5 or so years? Even through COVID, it's been fairly low. And what do you think are some steps that you would like to take, both in this year as someone who's running a campaign and then as president next year, theoretically, to increase voter turnout?
Yeah, I mean, a funny story comes to mind of when I was talking with Tyler Van Herzel, and he said, oh yeah, I had a low outcome. I had 30% of people vote. And I was like, yeah, you got nothing. But yeah, unfortunately, that is an issue with the elections process around the SU and generally the SU as a whole. And there's a couple of different reasons why the SU suffers from low engagement. There are some talks about how the SU is exclusionary to students who kind of don't get involved, or, you know, there's some sort of kind of process where they just, you know, they feel excluded.
Do you think that that's true?
I think it is and it isn't. Ultimately, kind of the SU strives to be as inclusive as possible, and I think we do a good job in doing that. But ultimately, kind of there, you develop pretty strong friendships within the SU. And so I can very easily see those becoming something that, you know, if you're not part of that friend group, then maybe that's something where you don't get the same chances or something. So I think there's merit to both sides of it. And kind of to touch back on the earlier question, as SU president, it would be something I wanted, and it's a hard question to answer for, you know, how do you address kind of cliquiness without saying you can't have friends in the SU? Because that's not what we're going for. But ultimately, you know, we need to be very mindful of the fact that even the fact that we are allowed to have friends is fine, but ultimately we need to make sure that we're not prioritizing those friendships to the exclusion of others. And then kind of in order to make engagement better is like reaching out to people where they are. A lot of what I've been trying to do today and what I'll try to do through my campaign is reaching students where they are, because ultimately if they don't feel comfortable coming to us, then we can put ourselves out there and say, hey, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's, you know, we're mostly very nice people. But, you know, ultimately, I think putting ourselves forward is really an opportunity that we need to take. And then also, I think just kind of one advantage of the campaign that we're currently running is we have 4 candidates for president and we have 18 president or candidates for the board. So ultimately, kind of that in of itself should serve to raise the voter turnout. I would be surprised if it remains about the 15 this time around, but ultimately kind of, yeah, just meet students where they're at and give them what they're what they need, actually talk to them, and make sure that even if only 15% of students choose to be involved in the SU during elections, we're still trying to reach 100%.
Right. Yeah, totally. Okay. And kind of last question before we maybe dig more into your specific specific platform. Students today, as well as universities today, have been kind of on record as dealing with financial difficulties. Students affording anything. And then the university is, both Laurier and many universities throughout Ontario have recently been reported to be essentially operating deficits. Is this something that concerns you? And what is kind of your, what do you see as your role as a student union president to advocate for students around university spending, but also student welfare?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's extremely concerning. Like, there are several times where you can even look at the board, the public board reports where the university has come for, to us asking for money. And part of that is because of the agreements we have with the university. But some of that is just because we have the fluid cash that they don't, because they are running, you know, $14, $12 million deficits a year. So ultimately, kind of, I don't think it's a simple problem to solve. I know that our GSR department has been doing a lot of work within the Blue Ribbon panel on sector financial somethings. Yeah. But kind of, yeah, there's a mix of factors that have come and caused this issue. Ultimately, kind of, the government is not providing the grants necessary. Tuition has been frozen for 5 years now. So there's all sorts of issues going into it. And it's, how can we, how as the Students' Union, can we make these necessary changes, and how can we support these necessary changes while still saying, you know, our interests are for the students. We want to keep tuition as low as possible. We want to make sure that the university can get the funding they need, so we have to stop bailing them out. And so it's not an easy question, but I think those are the conversations that needs to happen of ultimately kind of, this is a sector-wide thing. This is kind of a national thing as well. So how can we address this in a way that fulfills our mandate of speaking on behalf of students and advocating on behalf of students, while still recognizing that if we don't have that funding in the near future, then we're going to end up with another Laurentian, we're going to end up with another Queens.
Yeah, it sounds to me like in some ways the Students' Union is at an advantage in conversations with the university, especially if they're kind of like looking for money to kind of complete projects. I imagine that the referendum on athletics facilities fees is definitely a part of that. Do you plan on maybe like using that leverage in order to advocate on behalf of students? Obviously, the university is spending a lot of money and you can maybe have some say in kind of how that is spent.
Yeah, so I think that's just even something to recognize with the way the SU operates. Because of our independence from the organization or from the university, we have a lot of indirect influence and we do use it. And I think that's something, and that's something I want to highlight more, is just how we use that influence that we have as students. But yeah, definitely, I think using that influence we have with the university is something that needs to be done to a greater extent. But we also need to be careful of the fact that we can only push so far.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, we do not want to put students in a precarious position by overplaying our hand. And so I think one thing, like, I've spoken with a bunch of people within the university in running this campaign. And the overlying message, both from the Students' Union side and the university side, has been, we're not adversaries in this. Like, we are all working together to do the same thing, and that is to help students and provide a university experience. So certainly there's pressure we can use and there's pressure that we are using, but I think that might be thinking about it in the wrong way, in that we are trying to do this together, not as adversaries.
Fair enough. All right. Okay. Let's shift gears a little bit and ask the question that I think all candidates get asked, that people all maybe have similar interests to, about Brantford. You're obviously from the Brantford campus. Do you think that there are unique challenges that Brantford students face? What do you think they are, as I guess a student from Brantford, and how do you kind of hope to address them while also, of course, working in a larger campus structure?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the very start, it's worth recognizing that when we talk about Brantford, we're talking about 3,000 students, versus when we talk about Waterloo, we're talking about 17,000. So I think it's always worth keeping that disparity in mind. But it's also worth saying that even though it is a greatly lesser number of students, they're still students. We still have an obligation to them. So yes, absolutely. Brantford has different challenges. For instance, kind of being built into the downtown core is its own very, very stringent problem. Ultimately, kind of, we have issues with campus safety at night because these are issues that are existent in downtown cores of cities. So kind of how do we address that is an open question. We try working with SCS to do that. We try working with the city of Brantford. And so there's a lot of different ways we can approach that challenge. And again, some of it comes down to flexing our muscles as the SU, and some of it comes down to, hey, maybe here's an idea that nobody else has thought of. But I think definitely that advocacy on behalf of students is necessary on the Brantford campus, and also recognizing that the Brantford campus is inherently a smaller and closer-knit community than on the Waterloo campus, which isn't a bad thing, you know, not to play sides, but
yeah, for sure.
You know, ultimately it's a different atmosphere is what I'm trying to get at there.
Yeah. I've spoken to a lot of different presidential candidates over the past couple of years, not a ton from Brantford. What do you think that, and I hear a lot of the same things, like Brantford's so unique, so special, we want to bring them together, bring them closer. What do you think people get wrong about the Brantford campus when they're campaigning for positions, or even just in kind of year-to-year activities? Like, do you think that people pay a lot of like lip service to the campus and kind of ignore it, or do you think that they're focusing on building the wrong things when they work with them? Obviously, you're one person, yeah. So your perspective is not all-encompassing, but, and I asked you a lot of different questions, yeah. But I guess, what are your response to that?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, the one thing to, I think, and what, like I said before, the one thing to recognize with Brantford is it is a unique place. It's not necessarily special, but it's unique. There are different challenges, there are different people, and it's, on the whole, a more tight-knit community. And so I think there is generally more of a consensus around the student population in Brantford. I might be forgetting some questions here, but...
No, I guess that's my bad. I'll be more direct. Yeah. What do you think people who, I guess, student union representatives who operate out of the Waterloo campus, what do you think maybe they misunderstand about Brantford, and what things do you think should be focused on, if things are being focused on properly, or if you think things should change?
Yeah, I want to give a lot of praise to Spenny's team this year, because ultimately the decision that has been taken, and I think the right decision, is that if you are from the Waterloo campus, you don't know what happens on the Brantford campus. And, you know, as bad as it sounds, that's the unfortunate reality. So giving the students on the Brantford campus the voice to express their needs and being receptive to those needs is something that I think both President Spendler and her team have done very well. And it's something that I kind of want to do in my campaign on the reverse. Ultimately, I'm from the Brantford campus. That does not make me the Brantford candidate, but...
Correct, yes.
You know, ultimately, I think it might even be easier for me in that, you know, I have this experience with Brantford. I'm not forgetting about it when we talk about different campuses. But ultimately, I'm also surrounded by five VPs and a whole bunch of AVPs and a whole bunch of full-time staff who have lived in Waterloo, who work full-time across years in Waterloo. So I think that's a good perspective for me to have in trying to make that conversation of, you know, let's not forget about Brantford, but at the same time, it's worth recognizing that Waterloo does take up significantly more of our time, and rightfully so, because it has significantly more students.
For sure, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but basically, yeah, just, you know, ultimately, I think the only wrong thing you can do on the Brantford campus is ignore students on it. You know, there are wishes we have. You know, we wish we could build more infrastructure. Every once in a while, there's a wish that gets thrown around about a bus between Waterloo and Brantford, which is a non-starter for a couple of reasons. But, you know, ultimately, just listening to Brantford students' voice is what's going to solve problems in Brantford.
Yeah, thank you for that perspective. Switching gears a little bit, talking about unknowns in terms of campuses, if elected, your year as president will be the first year that the Laurier Milton campus is expected to open. And there's a lot of unknowns there. I would say that like most students don't even know really that it's opening. What are kind of your thoughts there? What are your goals for the Milton campus, while acknowledging that like there are currently no students there, so you can't really ask them their perspective?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is also something where being from Brantford gives me a good opportunity to have a perspective on this. As a satellite campus, you know, it's not the same experience, and it's not going to be the same experience in Milton. And that's one of my big platform points is, ultimately, when it comes to the Milton campus, we're making guesses here before it opens. But at the same point, like, when there are students on Milton, just engage with them, speak with them. A big part of what I want to do as SU president and what President Spendler has done this year has been going to the Milton campus, seeing it. What is it going to, what's the space going to look like? And I think that gives you a lot of opportunity rather than just making decisions in the blind. But it's also kind of worth recognizing that you're right. There's nobody on the Milton campus right now. So how do we make those decisions? I think kind of the common decision that I'm seeing right now to just kind of let it grow and then invest into it later, I think that's the wrong decision. Ultimately, you know, we are playing with unknowns, but I think there needs to be some active investment into the campus so that we see that return. Even if it is 200 odd students, having that investment into them will make more people want to come to the Milton campus because they see that it's actively being worked on. And that's something that's been a criticism of Brantford is, you know, ultimately it took a couple of years for the Brantford campus to get set up. And in that time, it wasn't super invested in. And at this point, I think we're 20 odd years into the Brantford campus. Now we're starting to see the investments. We're seeing, you know, the YMCA has been built. We're finally seeing a restaurant for students in Brantford. So there's a whole bunch of things that have been built up. And I think taking the lessons we've learned from Brantford and actively engaging them onto the Waterloo campus is probably the best decision to make there. But it's also worth recognizing that, like, these are conversations that are happening within the SU, within the university, within the government. So kind of how can we have these discussions and just sitting down if elected and saying, you know, what's happening with Milton? How can we educate students on it? Because you're right, most students don't know about the Milton campus, and ultimately that's kind of a shame. But how do we engage students with it, and how do we engage with the students who are going to be actually there?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, regardless of anything, kind of how that progresses. I've got a couple questions kind of around your campaign platform. Yeah. You've got 7 main pillars. I feel like we've touched on a pretty decent amount of a lot of them, but I guess one that I wanted to pull out now is 7, which is working with Greek Life Organizations, Greek Life Council, to explore and work through a recently signed MOU. There have been a lot of conversations in the past several years about Greek Life, a lot of promises made by presidential candidates around different ways to integrate Greek Life or different ways to not integrate Greek Life into the greater kind of Laurier community. What are kind of, I guess, maybe in specific, can you maybe expand on this point a little bit? And why do you think that, like, what your goals are will be successful when they haven't always been as successful?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a valid criticism too. But kind of there's 2 main points that I think make it a really good campaign platform policy. One is that most of what I'm talking about within my campaign is based off of the MOU. You can look kind of in...
Could you clarify what MOU is for folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So a MOU is a Memorandum of Understanding. So basically it is a legal agreement between the SU and the Greek Life Council, signed by the Greek Life president and by President Spendler. It's up for renewal in, I want to say, May, but don't quote me on that. And basically, it just provides that kind of the SU will provide these things to Greek Life Council. Greek Life Council will provide these things to the SU. And it's basically just, it's an adventuring agreement into sort of how do we build that relationship. And so a lot of, like you said, a lot of people have made a lot of promises about a whole bunch of things, but specifically Greek Life. So what I've tried to do is I've spoken to people in Greek Life, I've spoken with presidential staff, as well as sitting on the board for when this MOU came into place, as well as when it was being developed last year. So it's this policy platform is very grounded in what are the facts and what are the necessaries of the agreement. So I think kind of, I promise to work with Greek Life Council, but I'm also grounding it in what are our contractual obligations. And then we can go forward and say, you know, what are these things we'd like to do? But I think a big part of what I've tried to do with my platform is just making sure that it's grounded in what can I do in a year or what can I set the groundwork for? Because ultimately, if elected, I'm only here for a year.
Yeah, totally. And kind of going off of that, another point that I think it would be valuable to hear a little bit more from, which is 4, which is promoting EDI practices to ensure that students feel safe and secure on campus and throughout the broader Laurier community. What are some of the specific practices that you'd like to kind of implement throughout the year?
Yeah, so A lot of that is slightly more general, just because I'm hoping when elected to get sort of more drilled down into that, because ultimately, like, a lot of my experience has not been within the specifics of EDI. So, you know, ultimately, I know it's something that I want to do from what I've seen. And kind of part of it is also making sure that CSETI and EDI departments are at proper capacity. Because ultimately, I believe it's just a couple months ago, the director or the VP of EDI or whatever that position is in the university was hired. So CSETI has unfortunately been understaffed and at capacity for a while. So I want to build back that relationship and see what are these practices we could do. Specifically, though, I want to talk about, you know, there's a big thing around racial and gendered violence on campus right now, and specifically around gendered violence. That's an epidemic that's been going on, you know, for years across multiple campuses. You can look at Western's history. You can even look at Laurier's history. So working with that and working with these groups, you know, we have student groups on campus for EDI deserving groups, whether that's for disability or for race or gender or sexuality. And so communicating with them, and kind of that's the main thing I've been trying to get at, is we can have these conversations with the students to get at specifically what these groups need. Because ultimately, I can sit here and speculate about what they want all day long, but that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, totally. That's definitely fair. Okay, so I think we'll kind of start to wind down a little bit. I've got a couple more for you. I don't want to barrage you too much. Okay, so I guess we'll go here. So, and this is something that I think that you've talked about, but maybe to kind of get more specific. Obviously, as you're well aware, as president, you'll be you'll find yourself in a lot of different scenarios where you're talking to a lot of influential and important people, both at the university, faculty, staff, both at a city, provincial, and sometimes even federal level. And as kind of the de facto voice of students at Laurier, how do you plan to kind of go into these conversations that are both important and sometimes intimidating and make sure that you have kind of the confidence to speak up for students in rooms that really only you can be in?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an important part there of you as the SU president. You are the voice of students. You don't have the luxury of being intimidated out of the room. So that was a big part of going in and doing the prep for this campaign has been, am I comfortable sitting in that room and voicing my opinion and the voices of other students to, you know, these people in government, these people at the university? And part of that has been something I've done at the board. And part of that is just, you know, a personality thing. But I feel comfortable in doing that. But yeah, like it's definitely intimidating. And, you know, it's not something that all people want to do. But yeah, making sure that you go into those, the best thing and kind of what I got from speaking to Spenny and speaking to her VPs has been, you know, you have to go in, you have to be prepared. You need to know what you're talking about. And if you've done that prep work, you were elected to be the voice of students. You got however many votes you got. You have every right to be in that room as anyone else in there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think another really important aspect of being the president is the idea of transparency. And it's both an issue of, we've talked about before, kind of information that students like don't know about, yeah, but also in terms of practices and being transparent on what you're doing. You're obviously wielding a lot of students' money, and how do you plan to kind of maintain transparency with students, both from like just being transparent, but also making sure the students are able to easily, because it needs to be as easy as possible for students to know what's going on. Otherwise, they won't necessarily reach out. How do you plan to kind of maintain both the transparency, but also kind of the sharing of that transparent information?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the big things that I'm trying to push for is just making information as accessible as possible. That's kind of one of the big things on my campaign, is just overall accessibility, and information accessibility is a big part of that. Unfortunately, kind of both Laurier and the SU have a big problem with communications. There are too many things and too many places to find stuff. So, you know, to start small, you know, I think bringing back the SU does that campaign and bring back Week at a Glance to say, this is what's happening on campus. Here's, like, you can go for that. So that provides ease of information. And then also through that campaign of SU does that, just here's what the SU does for you. Here's what the SU is doing. Here's what our plans are. I think also building on recent steps to kind of show what's happening behind the doors of the GSR department for necessary reasons. Some of that has to remain confidential.
What is the GSR department?
Sorry, yeah. Just correct me anytime I do that. Unfortunately, the thing about working with the SU for so long is you get into acronyms. Mm-hmm. But GSR is the Government and Stakeholder Relations Department, formerly known as University Affairs. And basically, they are the advocacy and outreach branch of the Students' Union. So the VP Viv this year, I think, has done a really good job of trying to make GSR transparent and making sure that, you know, students are engaged with our advocacy efforts. I think there's more to do, especially kind of for, I would imagine most people don't know this, but this week is Local Advocacy Week within the GSR department, which is something that has historically been something that's restrained to SU volunteers specifically within that department. And that's something I want to expand because ultimately, you know, if there are four people in the room, then there have to be four people in the room. But I think the most amount of student voices that you can get behind the issue and perspectives on that issue, I think then that's helpful for the people that get to sit in the room. Because ultimately, as much as we would like to have every student possible in the room, that's not feasible.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I think we'll pretty much kind of like wrap up here. I think we've covered a lot of things, but I guess I'll ask you one more question and then I'll kind of let you give kind of your last minute spiel. Very, very simply, why should students vote for you for president?
I'll keep it short. I am running for SU president because of the community and the culture of Laurier and the SU. I think the steps that have been taken in the last 2 years are really good, and I want to move those forward with some adjustments. So I think even just looking at my policy, looking at my campaign and saying, you know, here's one thing that I find to be a good idea, or here's something that I would like to see. Ultimately, our job as the SU is to listen to students and to move their feedback into something tangible. And that's something that I've done over my course on the board through SRAC, which is the Student Rights Advisory Committee, or all of that. That's something I've done throughout my time at Laurier. And so that's something I want to keep doing as SU president, is make information more accessible and make sure that students are engaged so that their voices matter. Because they pay into the Students' Union, they got to get their money's worth.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Thanks so much, Sebastian, for coming and chatting with us. I guess before we wrap up, is there anything that maybe we didn't touch on that you'd like to talk a little bit about? Or is there any kind of like last minute plugs? Where can people learn more about you?
Yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to hear more, my campaign Instagram is the best place to kind of listen or see my thoughts. And then kind of if you want to DM me, I'm more than happy to answer them. But yeah, I think overall, this isn't an election just about the SU president, which I find these elections tend to be boiled down to. Mm-hmm. There are 18 people running for the board of directors. There are people running for the university senate. There are people running for the board of governors. There's an athletics referendum. Ultimately, I don't want that to get overshadowed by the fact that there are people running for SU president. It's a big job, and it's an important job, and it's a job that all of us candidates think that we can do in some way better than the others. But ultimately, this race is not just about the four of us. And so I think that's one thing that, you know, keeping at the forefront of students' minds is you are voting for so many different things. And please vote. Please, there's like 15% of people who vote. Let's get that higher.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sebastian.